They're playing basketball.
Is this the open?
Yeah, this is the open. That's how we're opening the show.
Man.
Wow.
I would have went with Basketball Jones, but that works too.
Hey, guys. I'm Chris Towers. Welcome to the Fantasy Basketball
you're
Today
not
podcast.
The original singer of that song?
No. I am a lifelike imitation, I believe would be the term.
Your voice is making a bit of a recovery since last we spoke.
A little bit. I'm sure I've been bothering everybody sitting next to me with all the coughing that I'm still doing. I'm trying to take some extra strength Mucinex to get over this. Maybe I should just go to a doctor.
Yeah.
Probably not, though.
4 out of 5 doctors recommend that.
How's it going, Joe?
It's going well. Saw some hoops last night.
Yeah, we did. We saw some basketball that actually mattered.
Yeah.
And we've got Heath Cummings here. Talk about some more basketball that actually matters. Heath.
It's so good to be here.
What's up? You're making your Fantasy Basketball Today debut.
It only took like a month before you invited me.
Well, I
appreciate it.
You're a busy guy. We knew, right. We knew you had to clear out the schedule.
You're on many other fine podcasts.
Not as fine as this one.
Well, yeah. That's to be seen.
Sure. So.
Yes.
Did you guys watch basketball last night?
And this morning.
I've heard that you watched basketball this morning.
Oh.
Did you, you caught up on the late game this morning? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I have a 7-year-old that's a huge Warriors fan. Mm. So we recorded the game and he woke up early and watched it before school.
A bit past the 7-year-old's bedtime on the East Coast.
I heard he's not super enthused about this game though.
He was not.
Well, there wasn't much to be enthused about. Yeah. As a Warriors.
He only got through the first half.
Okay,
And
it didn't get better in the second half.
Yeah, he still wants to watch that tonight. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to spoil it for him. He's pretty sure that the Warriors are coming back.
I was.
Hope he does not have access to Twitter.com.
No, he doesn't know what's going on.
They will inform him otherwise.
He did not enjoy the Knicks and Cavs game.
Okay,
and he did not enjoy this morning's game either. So.
At least one 7-year-old is not happy about how the Warriors have ruined the NBA.
Right. He's he thinks they need to stop giving the ball to Draymond so much.
I mean,
Draymond's mom
begged
to differ.
Actually disagrees. This might be a fight. There might be a fight between your
son. We could start
a
Twitter beef if you need.
I think that'd be pretty cool.
All right.
So we're going to recap Tuesday's action. We'll spend a little time talking about that. I don't want to overreact to too much. Except that Jonathan Simmons is the best player in the NBA. We're also going to look at Wednesday's awesome 10-game slate. Basketball was kind of back last night. It's officially back tonight.
Right.
And so we're going to look ahead, I think, once a week, probably Wednesday. I think we're going to have Heath on to talk some DFS. Because Heath and I, as some of you may know, we used to host the Daily Fantasy Live podcast.
One of our greatest successes.
I think so.
Yeah.
So we'll make this great again.
It's a cult classic, like Freaks and Geeks, just one season and out.
One season and out. So we're going to do some DFS talk during the week, and yeah. So we'll get to that a little later. But first, let's talk about that Spurs Warriors game. That might be the best I've ever seen Kawhi Leonard play.
Yeah, he looked to be on a mission
to
show people that I'm
like,
not a.
He showed some personality last night. He did a crossover.
I think he shouted and cursed at one point, which was
he dribbled between his legs.
All the fancy moves
from Kawhi. He looked great. Obviously, a consensus first-round pick in your category based leagues. Does last night make you think Kawhi Leonard could have another breakout coming?
That was a great player having a great game.
35 points, career high. 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 steals.
Yeah, I will say for categories fantasy, he didn't do a whole lot that you wouldn't expect from him. You know, it was more of the non-statistical revelations that you had last night about him. So he's the same player you drafted. He's amazing. I think he'll be in the MVP conversation, which some people didn't realize.
Finished second last year.
But most definitely will be in the fantasy MVP conversation.
Our cube mate, Scott White,
yeah,
was already worried about Pau Gasol.
Yeah.
Only playing 18 minutes.
Scott is a big drafter of old players. So.
Not really playing well.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought coming into the year, like, wait a second. He's going to San Antonio after playing in Chicago where he played probably more minutes than he should be.
Yes.
Now he's going to play less minutes than he should be.
Yeah.
With better players around him.
His
numbers are going down.
I called him a bust each of the last 2 years.
This year he's
I was wrong.
Yeah, last year
I called him a bust
total
again.
Opposite.
Just keep going back to that well.
It.
I went to the well 2 years in a row. I got dysentery, but I'm going back to it for a third year, and I think I'm going to be good. I think the water's healthy. I think Powell's going to be fine, but you're not going to get the numbers that you got from him last year. You're not going to get 17, 12, 4 assists per game. That's just not what the Spurs do.
He's not going to be a top 10 or 12 center, is he?
Probably not.
Yeah, that's bad.
I think he'll be... I think he'll be on the outside.
It depends because he does things that other centers don't do. So he's not going to get the volume of a Gobert, a Clint Capella, things like that. Obviously, the low end.
He only had 2 points yesterday.
Well, yeah.
We should 2 points, very four rebounds, volume. One assist.
He did not do things that other people don't do.
Well, I'm just saying, you expect him to score more than 2 points, and he's going to have a better free throw percentage. So it's really, can he stay in the game long enough to get the blocks that you need for
a
center?
And I think he will. This is a particularly bad
I'm gonna put money today on him averaging more than 2 points per game.
I think that's probably a good bet. I mean, look, the Spurs were switching every single screen that the Warriors were setting, even off the ball. That's just a bad matchup for Pau Gasol. It is something worth noting that your plotting big men might not play all that much against the Warriors. It's not that the Spurs went small. They played big pretty much the entire game. It was just a lot of Dwayne Dedmon, a lot of LaMarcus Aldridge.
How long did Zaza play last night?
About 18 minutes, I think.
Okay.
Maybe 21. Some in that range, which that's about what I would expect from him. Jonathan Simmons, we have to mention, had 20 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, hit 3 three-pointers, shot 8 of 14 from the field. I had a lot of exposure to Kyle Anderson in fantasy, in DFS. Sorry about that, Heath. I talked you into that. I started him in a couple of year-long leagues this week because the Spurs play 4 games. Didn't work out for me so far. He got the start. Played 22 minutes, but Jonathan Simmons came off the bench and was absolutely terrific. Is Jonathan Simmons a must-add fantasy player?
Yeah, right now, because Spurs are weak at that, you know, on the wing with Danny Green being out. And, you know, you just like his energy. He was kind of doing a little bit of everything, like bringing a lot of intensity. And Kyle Anderson is sort of the opposite end of the energy spectrum. He's a little slower of a player.
Yeah,
and
Kyle Anderson is.
So I think him and Powell not doing well kind of speaks to the game, I think, more so than their standing on the team. But, you know, it could be a long-term indication that this is the way the Spurs are heading.
I think Kyle Anderson, I would hope he'll play better the next few games. I would expect him to. He played well when he got the chance to start last season. He's a good passer. But this, again, just a rough matchup for him. He's not athletic at all.
Right.
You know, hard for him to play.
He was just trying to stay on the court with the Kevin Durants of the world.
No. Tony Parker, 9 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, nothing special. Manu wasn't special. Patty Mills had a Patty Mills game, 11 points. Did have 5 assists, 4 steals. I think Patty Mills has some sleeper potential as a very low-end point guard. He's going to get a significant minute. Let's talk about the Warriors.
Let's.
Draymond had a Draymond game. You know, Heath, your son
solid
might not want him to...
He was not good offensively.
I mean, he had 18 points on 7 of 15 shooting. He had a couple air balls.
On a 3 and a layup.
He had some bad misses and an emotional outburst. It's a Draymond game.
Yeah, it was a Draymond Green game. 18 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals.
That's a good game.
It's good to see that at least one game in, Draymond Green hasn't been... kind of left as the odd man out. Klay Thompson was actually the odd man out yesterday.
I mean, he got shots, he just didn't make them.
Well, he got 13 shots. I think we're hoping for more than 13 shots from Klay, for Klay. He was 5 of 13 for 11 points. He was really good in the preseason. And there was a lot of talk of him actually leading the team in scoring because he was going to have so many open shots. It's one game. I'm not worried about Klay Thompson.
No, he needs to get more shots than Draymond, though.
Yeah, that's probably...
Switch those two things.
Probably not an ideal split. Steph Curry and Kevin Durant both had really good games. We can't say anything yet. The Spurs were a really good defense. This was a tough matchup. It was the first game.
Like you said, the Spurs were playing big, so Draymond was getting corner threes, and Klay was a little more covered up.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty clear the Warriors are worse with Durant. It's obvious. How many games did they lose by 29 last year?
Probably none.
Okay.
Didn't they get blown up by the Lakers once?
Yes. They did. That was one of their losses.
I don't know. Maybe they're not worse. Okay, let's go on to the Knicks and Cavaliers. Not a lot to talk about on the Cleveland side, but the one thing I did notice that I wanted to talk about, the Cavaliers did run a lot of their second unit offense through Kevin Love. They're I guess without what they used to do last season a lot, especially in the second half, was they would take Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving out at the end of the first quarter. They would play a long stretch with the second unit of, you know, Dele and Richard Jefferson and all those guys with LeBron, put 4 shooters around him. Yesterday, it was Kyrie and LeBron who went out of the game, and they ran their second unit through Kevin Love. I think that's a really interesting look for Kevin Love in fantasy, because that team's using Iman Shumpert right now as their backup point guard. Kay Felder should be back from his concussion before the back-to-back on Friday and Saturday. But you know, Kevin Love had a good game. 23 yeah. points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. He had a sort of vintage Kevin Love game, and there's a chance he plays better if they run more of their second-unit offense through him.
Yeah, I mean, fantasy-wise, we've seen him as a high-usage player, yeah. and it looks great in your lineup. 6 for 15, not amazing, but you expect him to make some. I swear, every time I watch the Cavs, like, Kevin Love makes shots, but I don't see them. He just rims out open three-pointers. Like,
I'm pretty
constantly.
Sure they don't televise the shots he makes.
I don't think so. It's just all of his mistakes are on blast. But, yeah, the well-rounded stat line is what you like to see.
I will say his shooting would have fit in a lot better on the Knicks. It was laughable to watch their quote-unquote super team. They're bad.
I mean, I can see the starting lineup making sense.
Their bench is awful.
But the bench is awful. But I could see, like, in a perfect world, the starting lineup with Derek Lee, Courtney Lee, Derek Rose, Courtney Lee.
Say Derek Lee, that'd be sweet.
I mean, he's pretty big. It's a rim protector.
Yeah, I know.
Carmelo Anthony, Kristaps, Joakim Noah, like, healthy and running on all cylinders, I could see that making sense. But, like, the triangle's stupid.
Whoa.
I don't know. It's one game. Derrick Rose.
I feel bad for Kristaps. I feel really bad
for
Kristaps. Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of what I talked about in our last couple podcasts ago. It's just like, he's clearly the best player on the floor when he's out there. I mean, Carmelo does what he does.
Yeah.
But in terms of affecting the game in lots of different ways, he's the only one for them, and he's their only shooter, and like, he just kind of deserves better, I feel like. You're right, though. The bench is like, god-awful. Like,
who was it on the broadcast last night? Somebody suggested that they should just play Kristaps primarily.
I believe that was
the second unit.
Charles Barkley.
Was it Barkley that said that?
Yeah.
I agree with him.
Yeah.
Let Kristaps just take all the shots with that unit.
Or at least just, you know.
I mean, he can start the game and play with the starters, but
sub Derrick Rose early, like get a couple of the high usage guys out early.
Back.
Well, maybe. But
he wasn't great yesterday. I mean, he showed some burst getting to the rim, but just had no sense of the offense, and that's he barely played. I don't think he played in the preseason. Joakim Noah only played one or two games in the preseason, so
I will say I think Noah is the only hope for them, like, being cohesive, because he seems to know where everybody should be.
Yeah,
he
missed time in the preseason. It's not a good sign that the first game of the season Joakim Noah is already not there 100%, but I do agree, if he can get going, you know, with his passing, they could be interesting, but it didn't look good yesterday.
Rose, I want to confirm, had 4 turnovers and 1 assist.
Yes.
How many games do we get into the season before he has more assists than turnovers?
Oh, he'll get there by game 3. Yeah, he'll have like 5 assists, 3 turnovers.
Their offense is not conducive to assists, I will say. I mean, he was already a low assist point guard, and now it's like even more of like, okay, drive. He had this one where he like stood in the corner, surveyed the floor, and just shot a 3 and missed it.
I think I'd take the over.
It was crazy.
Maybe he doesn't finish game 3, but he gets over it at some point during game 3.
He needs to develop a rapport with KP, because I think his kind of drive and dish to him is kind of the only way he's getting assists on this team.
Like, Carmelo and Kristaps Porzingis, like, he's got guys he can pass it to. Those guys can spread the floor. They can shoot. I don't know. They didn't look good.
Nope.
The Jazz looked pretty interesting. Playing without Derek Favors, playing without Gordon Hayward. Joe Johnson had a huge game. Scored 27 points.
29?
27 in the second half.
Oh.
29 overall.
Yeah, Joe Johnson, when there's no one else, Joe Johnson is there. That's his MO
these days. If you need someone to shoot,
yeah,
Joe Johnson will take those shots. But they had a...
And even if you don't.
three-fifths of their starting lineup was brand new. Rodney Hood played really well, 26 points on 9 of 17 shooting, played 38 minutes. Did tweak his ankle late in the game. I don't think it's a serious concern. Boris Diaw did not play well in his start. I'm surprised they started him and played him over Trey Lyles. Rudy Gobert had a Rudy Gobert game, 12 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks in 41 minutes. George Hill played really well in his Jazz debut. I didn't get to see this game, unfortunately. League Pass was
yeah,
not
I was
working
fighting
my
League Pass as well.
Yeah.
I finally got it at the end.
It was not working at all. I had pixelated screen, so I didn't get to watch any of this game.
I mean, this is kind of, though, as far as Rodney Hood goes, if he avoids foul trouble and he doesn't get hurt, this is what you could expect when they don't have Hayward.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, not 26 every night and maybe a little more playmaking.
But seems pretty capable. I don't know who else on this team is scoring.
Joe Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, given. But Gobert played 41 minutes. It took 7 shots. And he's like their second best player.
He could average 18 to 20 points per game with Hayward out.
Yeah.
For sure. He's going to be someone that you have to start as long as Hayward's out. And you'll probably still be starting him when Hayward comes back.
Definitely stream this team while you can, because once Favors comes back, once Hayward comes back, they look more like, you know, a balanced team.
Yeah, I still think if he could get his foul trouble under control, he's going to be a must start.
Mm-hmm. The Blazers, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum did Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum things. No one else really did anything. Alan Crabb had 18 points, shot really well from three. Evan Turner had some assists, but also shot 1 for 7 from the field. There was really not anything else going on for the Blazers last night. It was a lot of Lillard and McCollum, a little bit of Crabb and Turner. Not much else, and that might be the story of their season. They've got a lot of just guys.
Yeah, somebody's going to step up every night. I mean, some nights it's going to be Mo Harkless. You know, it's some nights Turner will finally get into double digits, and like you're just not going to be able to bet on anyone other than those top two, it seems like.
All right, let's move on and talk about Wednesday's DFS. Heath,
yeah.
This is your time to shine, so you better bring it.
Better bring it. It's already been brought.
Has it?
Yeah, if this is you having brought it.
This is it. So I don't want to raise expectations any higher than what we've already had.
Well, let's look at some injuries news and notes for the first real day of the NBA season. Damari Carroll could see time at the four with Jared Sullinger out. Kind of sounds like it's going to be a long time with this foot injury, foot surgery. I hope I pronounced this right. Pascal Siakam. Rookie out of New Mexico State should get the start at the four. He was the, I believe it was the Mountain West Conference Player of the Year last year, if that's where New Mexico State is.
Yeah.
The WAC?
No. I think it's Mountain West.
He was a Player of the Year for some conference.
Email us.
He averaged like 20 points, 11 rebounds, 2 blocks per game. He's kind of an interesting prospect. He'll get playing time here. They seem to want to keep Patrick Patterson on the bench. Coming in with that second unit. So there's an opportunity. I think Damari Carroll also has an opportunity to play well in a bounce-back season. The Grizzlies will be... Try it again.
Whoa!
The Grizzlies will be without Tony Allen and Chandler Parsons for the opener. Jermichael Green is starting at the four with Zach Randolph, I believe, coming off the bench. I think they're going to use him more as a... more as kind of a center this year. So I don't know how much we're going to see of the...
The old Z-Bo?
The Z-Bo and Marc Gasol combination, which could be the end of an era. Cody Zeller has a knee injury. He will play. Frank Kaminsky is out with a foot injury. He will not play for the Hornets. And it sounds like Roy Hibbert could get the start for the Charlotte Hornets. Roy Hibbert bounce back season, guys?
Yes.
No chance.
Roy Hibbert in DFS?
No.
Wow.
No. Bohan Bogdanovic could start for Brooklyn.
I hope so.
Aces Shooter had a nice run at the end of last season. Yes. There's always an opportunity for NBA basketball players to contribute in Brooklyn. They don't have many of them. Bismack Biyombo suspended for the opener. I think that's something happened in the postseason last year. You get like thrown out of the last game or something.
That must be it, because it's like one game is one game.
Either way, Nikola Vucevic should play well, won't have competition for the minutes for at least one game. I am worried about the long-term ramifications of that. Gary Harris is out with a groin injury. Miles Plumlee starting for the Milwaukee Bucks. Sergio Rodriguez expects to start over TJ McConnell with Jared Bayless out. I think one of Joe's favorite sleepers this season.
Oh, yeah. Love Sergio.
Joel Embiid will be on a strict 20-minute limit for at least the first couple of games, probably going to start sitting out back-to-backs as well. And Ty Lawson expects to play between 30 and 40 minutes with Darren Collison out. We saw this last season. When Darren Collison was out, Rajon Rondo was basically playing 45 minutes a game. Wouldn't surprise me if we saw that with Lawson. The question is, can he still play basketball?
Yeah, that's
we'll find out.
A question.
All right, let's talk about Wednesday. Let's run through the games with the highest over-unders and then the games with the lowest over-unders. Houston, LA. Los Angeles Lakers has a 222 over under. I think that game opened at like 2.
I was going to say that went up because I remember it being laughable how low it was.
Yeah, I think it opened
before.
At like 211 or 212.
There's somebody made a lot of money.
Probably. Although if you take the under now, might be a good bet.
It would have been really nice to get the over at 211 and the under at 222.
I feel like it was even lower than 211. I want to say it was like 206.
Like, Houston's not going to play any defense. They're going to play as fast as they possibly can.
Yeah. The Rockets by themselves averaged 118 points per game in the preseason.
And their defense got worse this year, probably.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So I
they're going to have to win a lot of games.
Basically, their defense is, we're going to play so much offense that you don't want to play anymore. And
yeah.
It's going to work against the Lakers.
The Kings and Suns are at 212, so there's a big gap there. Brooklyn and Boston, 211.5. Lowest over-unders, Charlotte-Milwaukee, 192.5, Detroit-Toronto, 195, and Minnesota-Memphis, 198.5. The way we're going to do this DFS talk is we are going to start with the elite players. We're going to have our esteemed experts rank them.
Okay.
There are six players.
I think we're all going to be pretty similar on this.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm not. I wouldn't call myself an esteemed expert at DFS. I'm going to leave that to the former stars of the DFS pod. These two.
Heath, you're going to have to carry us here.
Okay. I see. There's six players that are over $9,000.
Yeah. Well, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, Paul George, and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You almost ranked them.
Rank them in descending order of price.
Harden and Westbrook, in my opinion, are on their own level.
Okay.
I would put them at the top tier. I mean, Westbrook on FanDuel is $12,000, on DraftKings is $11,500. And this is a guy that, without Kevin Durant in the past, we've seen him worth $13,000.
Yep.
He's going up against the worst team in the history of the NBA for like the seventh year in a row.
I mean, they got Joel Embiid now.
Yeah, they do have Joel Embiid now. So
for 20 minutes and no more.
It'll probably be 20 minutes while Westbrook's on the court.
Yeah.
So
he's going to swat all them shots.
I hope that he doesn't break Embiid with one of his dunks. Russell Westbrook's going to have a triple. He's even more valuable on DraftKings, where you get the bonus for the double-double and the triple-double. He will have a triple-double before the third quarter's over. It's just, and I wouldn't expect him to play the fourth quarter.
That's kind of my worry with him. Is like I've seen him against the Sixers get triple-double in 18 minutes, and then like.
But if he has 30, 12, and 12,
yeah, I
think
I would
this
be more
Thunder
worried
team's
about like
not really blowing people out.
They're bad.
I think they're not. I mean, I think they'll be a
people
pretty average.
Or Sixers.
The Sixers have NBA players now, guys.
Okay,
they got Gerald Henderson.
The Sixers have the edge at center.
Yeah, maybe.
That's it.
Yeah, I think so.
That's it.
I like Robert Covington. He's better than Andre Roberson.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about Robert Covington. Starting at small forward tonight?
Probably.
And Saric is at power forward.
Saric starting at the four?
We will talk more about him later. Anyway, I would rank Westbrook first.
Okay.
Harden second for the reason we just talked about. He gets as many shots as he wants from wherever he wants with virtually no defense.
I would absolutely go with Harden over Westbrook.
Okay.
$800 less.
Yeah.
I think he might just outscore Westbrook tonight.
I think he might outscore him in regular points. He's not as big a threat to get
Harden,
that many rebounds.
Okay, it's dumb. Preseason numbers don't matter that much. But Mike D'Antoni. But listen to how much these preseason. Yeah. No, Mike D'Antoni said he wants Russell Westbrook or James Harden to average 10 plus assists per game.
Okay.
Harden averaged 14 assists per 36 minutes in the preseason.
Okay.
The ball is going to be in his hands constantly.
So maybe on
he's FanDuel, surrounded by shooters.
But on DraftKings, I don't see him getting 10 rebounds.
And you're thinking they'll have similar stat lines, and Russell's defensive stats will probably tip him over the edge.
Well, he's going to play defense.
Yeah.
So that's an advantage.
He will get defensive stats.
Yeah. He can take the ball away from Sergio Rodriguez whenever he wants. Is that the guy's name?
Yes.
Okay. Sergio Rodriguez. Yes.
Okay. I'm going with Harden first.
Plus,
but let's finish the rest of your top six.
Plus, narrative.
Ooh.
You know how happy Westbrook is with what just happened last night with Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like he's going to score like 100 tonight and then just smile.
Okay.
So, third for me is Boogie. You know how I feel about Boogie.
Boogie's the best.
There's nobody on Phoenix that can contain him.
He's going against Phoenix.
It's going to be a fast-paced shootout. I don't think... The main nice thing is Markieff Morris is not there anymore.
Yeah.
So there's probably nobody that's going to get in a fight with Boogie and cause him to get ejected.
That is always a risk.
I don't think there's any bigs that he has beef with.
I don't know.
I mean, anybody that looked at him the wrong way, he could have before the game starts. But I don't. There's not like noted hotheads. They're mostly going to play young guys down low who are probably just scared of him.
Probably.
Marquise Chris is not.
Tyson Chandler doesn't care anymore, so he's not going to fight.
No, he's just going to laugh.
He'll mail it in.
I've got on the same tier with him, but just below him, I've got Anthony Davis.
Yep. He's got a really good matchup against Denver.
He does, but I mean,
Anthony Davis.
He might
play 12 minutes.
Might roll his ankle. First quarter.
Jam his pinky.
Yeah.
Anything. And then I don't really think I'll play any of the other two.
Giannis or Paul George?
I've got Giannis a little bit ahead of George.
Okay.
Just because, I mean, there's a chance what we saw from him in the second half last year carries over, and he's worth $10,000 all
year. He does have a tough matchup, though. Charlotte's a very good defensive team.
And I don't. I know you probably. They're going to tell me I'm wrong, but I don't think Paul George is a $9,000 player.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Talent-wise, sure. I don't think production-wise he will be.
The Pacers are going to play faster this year. That's what they've talked about.
Last year it was that they were going to play him at power forward.
They're not playing him at power forward. They got Thad Young now, but they have a real point guard. Not that George Hill isn't a good player, but he's not quite the facilitator that Jeff Teague is. So,
but that means he's going to have the ball in his hands less, right?
Yeah, but I think it could be a situation where he benefits from having to do less.
Okay.
He's more efficient with the touches that he has because he's not facing so much defensive pressure. It's kind of like Kemba Walker last year.
I'm going to predict that he will be an $8,000 player in November, and I will play him then.
Okay. Joe. Joe.
That's me.
How do you rank them?
He's kind of talked me into what he just said. I will say I think I like Harden a little more just because I don't think the Sixers are good enough. I mean, Thunder, yes, got worse. But I don't think the Sixers are good enough to make it totally competitive. And, you know, the Thunder have a lot of investment in Russell Westbrook right now. I don't think he sees as many minutes, whereas Harden's minutes are going to be just so easy. Like, he's going to trot down the court, get an assist or a three on every play. Boogie against the Suns is, you know, dynamite. Anthony Davis is scary. I'm a little higher on Paul George than you, but I do see what you're saying. I think it's just more so that he plays small forward, so if you wanted to get peak value out of that position, you're going to have to pay for it.
They're building a couple lineups where ended up with a bunch of – because there's a ton of value at center. There's a ton of value at power forward. There's some good value at point guard. Small forward's just still kind of a mess.
Yeah, it's like him and then guys that could, you know – score 12 points and do
nothing. I think the second highest paid price player is Danilo Gallinari.
Yes.
At small forward. So, and you have Giannis last.
Yeah, he just, you know, it's like you said, it's going to be a slugfest of a game. He's more of a let's get him up and down the court to see his maximum potential.
I'm going to go very different. I'm going Harden, Boogie, Westbrook, Davis, George, Antetokounmpo. I just, you know, I would bet on Westbrook probably outscoring Boogie, but I'm not 100% sure I feel confident in it. And he's $2,000 more. The only reason I might not play Boogie is just that there's so many dang guys available at center that are $4,000 or $5,000 that I like even more.
Right.
So that's the only issue that I have with playing DeMarcus Cousins. Let's talk about some of those value plays. There are a ton of really good value plays this week, tonight on FanDuel, especially. Heath.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite value point guard? Well, define value as under 6,000.
For those of us who aren't esteemed experts,
we'll define it as under $6,000.
Okay.
And I'm actually defining it as under $5,000.
Okay.
Wow.
And then you guys can have the 5 to 6 range or tell me if I missed anybody.
Okay.
That's mostly because I agreed to parameters and then forgot them as I was compiling my list.
Sounds about right.
There's only one point guard under $5,000 on FanDuel and really on DraftKings that I'm excited about playing, and that's Matthew Dellavedova.
Okay.
Part of that's because, you know, I'm always excited when I have an opportunity to play Delly. But he is on a Bucks team that needs him to play quite a few minutes. He's going to do things.
Yeah.
I like him on DraftKings where he gets a 3-point bonus. I think he'll make a couple threes tonight. And he's dirt cheap. Like, I have a hard time seeing how he plays 30 minutes and doesn't score 20 fantasy points.
Yeah, you're right. This is the time to play him because we haven't seen him in a larger role yet. We don't know what his dollar value like should be. So this will be when you can get the most advantage out of that.
I would guess he's a $5,500 point guard if he's playing 30 minutes a night. Maybe he approaches 6,000 at some point, but he does not deserve it.
Maybe.
But $4,500 is too cheap with his type of workload.
He profiles to be like a Pablo Prigioni doesn't get any stats kind of guy, but he actually did pick up quite a few assists.
No, he was he turned into a pretty good playmaker last.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like you kind of look at him, you know, and think like this is a guy that does the dirty work, but he actually does. He can compile numbers if you trust him with the ball for long enough.
All right, Joe. What about you? Under $6,000.
I like Bohan Bogdanovic. I've kind of been.
We're talking about point guards.
Oh, well, he's going to play point guard, so perfect. I think Tyler Johnson is
4,200
point guard eligible. I think he's going to be their backup. Yeah, he's real cheap. To me, on the Heat's sort of glut of other guards, not named Goran Dragic, mm-hmm. he's kind of the one that stands out. That's going to be sort of consistent to me. I think they paid him, so they're going to want to play him, you know, as both the backup and alongside him. So I want to see what he does tonight for, like, pretty cheap. I think $4,200,
you said? $4,200. Yeah. They've been making Manu comparisons, which is kind of silly, but he's a lefty.
Yeah, I think that might be, you know, reach a little bit because he's smaller, but he plays pretty big. So, like, he can come up with a block out
of
nowhere.
He's pretty athletic.
Get some boards, things like that.
Last season averaged right around 4 assists per 36. Pretty good shooter. Has an opportunity at anybody on that Heat team, really.
I think it's just also that he was there last year. Yeah. So, like, they're going to trust him a little more. He's going to know a little more how to function and Spo's offense. And, he's real cheap.
I'll throw out a handful of guys. Ty Lawson, I think, at 5,100 is an obvious play tonight. Heath, I'm sure you would have picked him if you had remembered that we were going under 6,000.
Yeah, I mean, for the people that consider players from 5,000 to 6,000 value plays, I would say he's an excellent value.
Tim Frazier,
yes,
also a value play, $5,000. He's going to play big minutes. He's the only healthy point guard on the roster.
Right.
You know, they kept Lance Stevenson because of his playmaking ability. That's how bad things are in New Orleans right now.
I still, like, I'm not so sure if Tim Frazier's playing 30 minutes. Maybe he plays 40. If he's playing 30 minutes, 5,000 feels about right for me.
Okay.
Like, because he's not probably going to do very many things. They're hoping he can dribble the ball from the end line to the 3-point line and pass
it
somewhere else.
I think you're banking on double digit assists.
I could see him getting 10 points and six or seven assists.
Okay.
I would also throw out Tyler Johnson, like you mentioned, and Sergio Rodriguez or TJ McConnell. Maybe even both. They're both $5,000. Rodriguez going to get the start, probably a little better of a shooter. McConnell, we saw early last season, had some pretty good assist numbers. So I think either of those guys has a chance to be a good value. What about shooting guard? Joe.
Real quick, I want to just say that I've started Victor Oladipo in all the lineups I made because I feel like he could sort of dominate.
He could have a big game, yeah. He's 7,400.
And I think, you know, they won't mind playing him longer if it's a total blowout.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, looking down the list here, shooting guard's pretty tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly have no idea. Like, Buddy Hield, I guess,
Buddy Hield at 4,500.
We haven't seen him play yet. Maybe he can score a whole bunch.
I like 3-1.
Yeah, Etwan Moore at the same price. I think both those guys. It's a good matchup against Denver.
And I like Gerald Henderson.
Okay.
Like, I don't actually like Gerald Henderson.
Say,
but he's 4,200 and he's going to play 30 minutes and he's got to take shots for the Sixers.
The last time we saw Gerald Henderson in a pretty big role was a couple years ago in Charlotte. It's kind of their secondary creator, secondary ball handler.
Right.
And he averages about 15 points, 3 or 4 assists per game. I think that's doable in Philadelphia.
That's good for 4,200.
Yeah.
Maybe Jordan Clarkson if we're going with the under 6,000 range.
Jordan Clarkson at 5,700 against Houston is a
ton of
really
possessions there.
Yep.
People, I feel like, have kind of forgotten about him. Like, he doesn't do a whole lot other than score, but he can. And if they keep him in and it's a blowout, he'll get a lot.
Is same game, Eric Gordon at 5,200 is a really nice value. I'm going to have a lot of Eric Gordon.
I will say on DraftKings, Avery Bradley is 4,800.
That's a nice price.
I would definitely play him at that price. Not probably playing him on FanDuel, though. I've been trying to kind of build my DraftKings lineup, too.
Okay.
The value plays on FanDuel are much nicer tonight.
Okay.
Like they've been more generous with their offering of value.
There are a lot of really good value plays on FanDuel. We'll move on to the small forward position where I really like Rondae Hollis Jefferson. You get that defensive value. He was someone who averaged almost 3 steals per 36 last season. Really solid defender. Should get a lot of minutes. Should get a lot of rebounds. Might score 10 points.
I don't know what you're going to think about my favorite value play.
Let me guess.
Matt Barnes.
Jaylen Brown.
No, it's not Jaylen Brown. I don't think Jaylen Brown's a good play.
Harrison Barnes.
It's Harrison Barnes.
4,800.
Wrong Barnes.
He played Barnes. Like crap in the preseason.
He was awful.
He shot like 22%.
It's fun to kick Harrison Barnes around and say he's not very good.
You want to talk about revenge game, you know, or the Russell Westbrook thing.
Yes.
Yeah. You saw his Warriors get beat up.
He might outplay KD tonight and say, ha ha, you should have just kept me.
No, I think anytime you can get...
Anytime
you can get someone that's probably going to play 30 minutes for 4,800, I think that's pretty good. The problem is, we don't know what he's going to look like in this offense. We don't know, if he can be more than he was in Golden State.
Right. I think they have every intention and desire for him to be more.
Yeah.
And so at least in game one, I'm going to take a shot on that. He's getting shots.
Yeah.
Let's see if he can make some.
I would also throw out Brandon Ingram at 4,000. Good matchup against the Rockets. Just don't know how many minutes he's going to play off the bench. Mirza Teletovic.
Bohan Bogdanovic.
Solomon Hill at 4,300. James Ennis at 4,000. Jeremy Grant at 5,200.
On DraftKings.
Yes.
Saric is both small forward and power forward eligible, and he is 4,700.
That's a good value.
And he's probably going to play closer to 30 minutes, isn't he?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, so I think
he could get some assists. You get the three-point bonus. He's supposed to be a pretty good shooter.
Tobias Harris and Jay Crowder are both right around 5,500. I like both of them as well.
That's a very nice price for Tobias Harris.
Chris hates Jay Crowder. It's unbelievable.
Does he?
The only person he dislikes more than Jay Crowder is Andrew Wiggins.
Ooh.
Maybe my favorite value of the night is a power forward. Serge Ibaka being $4,800 on FanDuel just seems stupid. It just seems like somebody messed up.
It's a new season. Are we going to break the pact?
What?
Never play Serge Ibaka? Is that the pact?
No, the pact was never call someone a must play.
Not a must play.
Is Serge Ibaka... I think he might be a must play.
He was like a $6,500 player last season.
Right.
Like you're talking about someone who...
And he's going to have higher usage.
He's going to have higher usage than he did last season. He's going to get some minutes at the five tonight with Bismack Biyombo out. You know you're going to get a couple of blocks from him. It wouldn't surprise me if he averages 17 points per game for Orlando.
I'm going to do it. Must play.
Must play Serge Ibaka.
Must play.
Get Serge Ibaka out of all
your
lineups.
I just put him in my lineup because I literally have to play him now.
Yes. I'm going to play 15, 20 lineups tonight. I'm going to have 15 to 20 lineups with Serge Ibaka in it.
There are a lot of good values of power forward, though, not just Serge Ibaka. Enes Kanter, his former teammate, I think is a great value.
He's no Serge Ibaka.
At 5,100. He's $300 more expensive, but... Seems like a really good bet to get a double-double. I like Terrence Jones at 4,200 against Denver in what should be a fast-paced game. Gorgui Dieng at 5,500, just perpetually undervalued. And Jermichael Green at 5,000, going to start for the Grizzlies, as we discussed earlier. I think he's a good play.
What about Bielitsa? He's coming off the bench.
Yeah.
But the talk is that Tibbs really likes him.
Yes.
And he's... Maybe I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I expect him to be the primary shooter with the second unit.
Probably.
If he gets hot, I mean, he can put up 30 in a hurry, not real points.
30 fantasy points. He can pass a little bit. He can rebound a little bit, maybe.
Couple others that you didn't mention. I do like Saric on FanDuel, where he's power forward only for 4,900. What do you think about Marquese Chris?
I don't expect him to play much.
I thought he was playing a lot.
They did play him decent minutes in the preseason. He actually, from what I was reading, he looked more ready than we expected.
Right.
Because he was bad in college.
And the Kings are a fantastic matchup.
Yes.
I mean, you say you don't expect him to play a lot. 24 minutes?
That could happen, yeah.
I don't know anything about the Suns.
I don't know.
I'm just going to put it out there. The Suns are like a total mystery to me. I don't know. It's just because of like their location.
They've got a lot of guys.
Like, yeah.
They're bad.
They don't seem to have an identity to me.
Yeah, they're kind of all over the place.
I do think Eric Bledsoe could have a monster night tonight.
Yes. Well,
he doesn't fit in the categories, but he's 7,600.
Yeah, that's a good value for him. He could be a 9,000.
And he's probably going to have Ty Lawson guarding him. So
yeah.
I don't think it's outside
strong the situation.
Realm of possibility that he's like Harden Westbrook good tonight.
I would say I would put his ceiling right around 50, but 40 to 45 seems pretty realistic.
So... Willie Cauley-Stein starting at the four for the Kings?
No, I believe... Maybe? I don't know if they've totally announced their starting lineup yet.
Because Caspi will come off the bench. Yeah. Be the first big off the bench. They don't... Like, who else would they start there?
It could be. Yeah, maybe it's him.
He's only 5,400.
Seems a little too high. He didn't put it together last year. The version of Willie Cauley-Stein that we think could be in the NBA with all the blocks and steals and, you know, good rebounding numbers.
So Suns big men. I'm trying to think of who might be playing minutes tonight. Bender's not going to play any minutes. Like, very little.
Yeah. Chandler and Len will play a lot. Jared Dudley will play a lot of power forward.
He's a big.
He's listed as a power forward.
He is a power forward. Yeah.
Slide PJ
Chandler's
going
to play 20 to 25 minutes.
Yeah. We'll probably get like 5-7 minutes with Chandler and Len both on the floor together. They did that last season.
Len's going to play 30 minutes?
Maybe.
So then we got a whole another 48 minutes for the other big spot.
Yeah.
Jared Dudley.
Dudley's going to play around 30 minutes.
And he won't play any small forward?
He might play some small forward.
I would really like to see 28 minutes out of Chris, and I think he'd be a great play.
Okay. You might get it. And I think the center position has a ton of value tonight, too.
It's loaded.
I think under 5,000, Clint Capella at 4,200 seems way too low. I think he's a really good bet for a double-double on most nights, probably a couple blocks, probably a steal or two every night. I think he's probably a $6,000 player. Steven Adams at 4,700, Yusuf Nurkic at 4,600, Mozgov at 3,900, Bogut at 4,000, Nene at 4,100. There's a ton of value at center.
Joel Embiid's playing tonight, Chris.
Yeah.
He's back.
4,700.
4,700. He doesn't need 36 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's going to have to average.
If we're citing preseason in this podcast, then he can.
He's going to have to average about a fantasy point and a half per minute.
That's probably about what he did in the preseason, right?
I would guess even higher. He averaged like 28 points per minute.
Yeah.
Or 28
points per minute.
He averaged like 28 points and 14 rebounds per 36.
He's scoring like 2,000 a game in the preseason.
Must play. Did you say Mozgov?
Yes.
Yeah, he's...
$4,000, good matchup.
Is there a little concern that Mozgov and Capella get each other in foul trouble? They like to bang.
Yeah, I did think about that. I was like, oh, Capella's gonna eat in this game. And I thought about Mozgov. I'm like, oh, Mozgov might like somehow dirty him out of this game.
There's
like,
also
nah, man, you're not coming in my junkyard.
There's always risk with Clint Capella of they start fouling him. He shot like 34% on three free throws last year. There's a chance he gets taken out. But he's cheap enough that he's the same.
20 minutes of him could be worth more than a lot of these guys.
What are we expecting Houston's small ball? Ariza at the four?
Yes.
Who's the five in their small ball lineup?
It'll be either Nene or Capella or Montrezl Harrell.
Not the kid from Louisville that shoots free throws underhanded?
Onuwaku?
Oh, maybe.
Onuwaku? I would like to see that.
Okay.
I want to see an underhand free throw.
Yeah, that would be excellent. Capella should start shooting him underhand. I think he was trying it out the other day. Onuwaku's preaching the church of underhand.
I will, you'll laugh, but I'll throw out Roy Hibbert and Omer Asik. $3,500 and $3,700 players that probably going to get pretty decent minutes tonight.
Yeah, Chris. I would go Hibbert over Asik. I haven't seen Asik do anything relevant in a long time. Hibbert will get some fake stats.
Anyone else? I mean, with Hibbert, you're just hoping he gets like two or three blocks.
Right.
And, you know.
I mean, maybe Bogut. I mean,
yeah, 4,000.
If you're looking at some like older gentlemen who will be banged up very soon, like you get them while they're like supposedly fresh right now.
And he's part of the narrative that everybody that left Golden State plays well tonight because they lost.
There you go.
Play the narratives.
All right. You guys got lineups?
Yeah, I've got a couple of them.
I'm not sure which lineup to go with. All right. I'm going to go with my Harden, Anthony Davis lineup.
Okay.
I've got D'Angelo Russell at point guard, Ty Lawson, James Harden and Victor Oladipo, Aaron Gordon and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Anthony Davis, Serge Ibaka, and Clint Capella. So a bunch of my $5,000, $6,000 and under players in there. Joe, what about you?
I went D'Angelo Russell, Jeremy Lin, Clarkson.
Lin's a good play.
I went Russell and Clarkson because I don't know. They could.
It's going against Houston.
Yeah, they're going to run a lot. Harden, same game. I feel like that was my stack, even though they're not on the same team. It was just guards in that game. Justice Winslow under 5,000. Want to see what he does.
Let's see if he can do
small forwards, hard to pin down.
Yeah.
Jay Crowder, Enes Kanter. We talked about him. He's probably going to get 20 plus points tonight. Anthony Davis and Clint Capella.
All right.
I have really struggled. You asked me to put together a DraftKings lineup, and I've really struggled to do that.
Well, you offered.
I think
don't put that evil on me.
I think I've got it figured out.
Okay.
I think I've got it figured out. I've got Eric Bledsoe at point guard.
Sure.
Evan Fournier at shooting guard.
Always good.
Tobias Harris at small forward.
Yep.
Saric at power forward.
Okay.
Center, Mozgov.
Yeah.
Not great. We got to go guard, Dellavedova, forward, Capella, and Harden as a utility.
Where'd you spend all your money?
Harden's 10-9.
Yeah.
Bledsoe.
Bledsoe's 79, and this is DraftKings.
Yeah.
You don't get to play as many good players.
How much is Harris? Harris is 6,000 plus, right?
57.
Oh.
That's a pretty nice
price. That's better than FanDuel, right. I think.
What's that?
I said, I think that's but yeah, 6,300 in FanDuel.
All right.
And then I have a FanDuel lineup as well, if you'd like.
Okay, one. Let's hear it.
Yeah. Because I thought
you're
I
needed a special
to,
guest. You can give as many lineups as you want.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
I've got like 14 of them.
No, let's hear them.
We can just go.
Let's go.
Westbrook and Dellavedova at point guard.
There you go.
Harden and 3-twan at shooting guard.
There you go.
Jeremy Grant and Teletovic at small forward.
Boom.
Sarge and Ibaka at power forward. And Hassan Whiteside at center.
We did not mention Hassan Whiteside.
Talk about a guy that had a great preseason.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about a guy who had a great
second half of the season. He was scoring like
40 points
a minute.
He was really good in the second half of last season. You're talking about someone who could average, I don't know, 18 points, 14 rebounds?
That's the one downside of playing Ibaka is Whiteside might get all the rebounds in that game.
I wrote a bold predictions column yesterday for the season, and my bold prediction with Hassan Whiteside was he's going to put up historic numbers. I don't know if that means like in games, for the season as a whole.
He's going to break a record.
He's going to do something that we haven't seen in a while. Either like he'll average 4 blocks per game, he'll break the NBA record for point rebound block triple doubles, which I think is 4. Hakeem Olajuwon and Mark Eaton both did that.
He'll play 2K during a timeout.
He might do that.
That'll
break out his phone. He's going to do something historic. You're going to want to have a good amount of Hassan Whiteside.
Has anyone ever been suspended for use of social media?
Yeah, I was going to say Snapchatting a free throw. He might do that.
He could be the first person suspended for social media.
That would be historic.
One more FanDuel lineup that I really like.
Okay.
And then I'm done. Lawson and Dellavedova.
Like it.
Harden and Eric Gordon together.
Okay.
Barnes and Teletovic.
There you go.
Harrison Barnes.
So you're spending all your money at power forward and center.
Oh, I've got Harden already.
Okay.
Anthony Davis and Serge and Boogie.
Yeah,
so
I like it.
Davis, Boogie, Harden.
You can get on a night like tonight, if you move your pieces around right, you can get 3 of the $9,000 players in there pretty easily tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, your point guards were Dele and Lawson. That's dirt cheap.
That's dirt cheap, but it ought to be...
Yeah, no, right now...
50 points?
And especially, it's a lot of guys that you're playing right now that... You know, they haven't been priced properly because you haven't seen them with their new team and their new role, expected to do more, yada, yada.
All right, before we go, I'll give one that's kind of similar. It's Westbrook, Moutier, Eric Gordon, James Harden. Super cheap. I'm punting small forward, so I'm going Jaylen Brown, Stanley Johnson at 3,500 each.
That is
Jamichael Green, Serge Ibaka, and Hassan Whiteside. So I got Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Hassan Whiteside.
That's what I gave earlier.
So
you go. You're playing Jeff Green and Jamichael Green.
Not Jeff Green. Stanley Johnson and Jaylen Brown. Oh.
That is a...
I got it. I see what you did there. Jaylen Brown is Jeff Green. Confirmed.
You said that.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. Thanks for being here, Heath.
It was great to be here.
Hopefully you can be back next week.
I hope I get invited back.
Every Wednesday in Jeff's office. We're doing it.
Jeff's office every Wednesday. Let's do it. Thanks for listening. As always, subscribe on iTunes. Leave a review. Leave a rating. Email the show at fantasybasketball@cbsi.com, and we'll see you later. Bye.